You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Brady Kinney, Sal O'Connor back on the Fan on this Friday. This football is Friday, the first one of the year, so we're talking baseball. Marcus Stroman making news today, arriving today at Yankees camp. And saying that defiantly several times, I think I just saw an article that said he said it like seven times in 17 seconds that he is a starter and he's going to want to not want to go to the bullpen. He's going to be a starter. Okay, so my question then, BT, and we've kind of had this conversation. In the case of missing anything, it was a fiery open between BT and I. Check it out on the free Odyssey app where we disagree on what's going on with Stroman here and the Yankees and the way that they built this thing here, where I think this is Cashman's mistakes. Should this even matter? Like, think about where we are now with the Yankees versus where we were. And I know it's not George. Like, we've been down there. We don't have to go back to that. But part of what made the Yankees so great years ago was not that they were spending more than everybody else, which they were, but it was more so that when they did misspend, which is inevitable, they were able to eat those mistakes better than anybody else. If the Mets made that mistake, they'd be crippled. If another team makes that mistake, they can't do anything with it. When the Yankees would make a bad mistake, and they made plenty of them, they would eat it and move on. And now it's like, we're hanging on to LeMahieu. They were running Josh Donaldson into the ground, like doing whatever they could, milking that. Hicks forever. Mm-hmm. And here we are now with Stroman. I'm not like dismissing $18 million, but is this ultimately worth the headache? Like, it's a sunk cost. We've seen Steve Cohen do this with the Mets. Why can't the Yankees just either A, move on from Stroman, or A and B, or just B, go get a third baseman anyway, and then it wouldn't even matter?
Mm-hmm. They could. I would like to see that. They're not doing that now. That's the only answer I have for you. You know, I wish I had a different answer, but they are operating differently. And I don't know that they're... I don't want to say that that's... It's too convenient to say, well, the Yankees have been operating differently for the last couple of years. That's why they have no World Series. I don't think that that's accurate, but...
Me neither, for the record. It's just the way they're operating.
Yeah,
Forget about the results.
I think that they can increase their chances to be better this year by getting rid of Stroman and bringing in Arenado, or even keeping Stroman until somebody gets hurt, or, you know, whatever. But you need a third baseman. But I still think they could address it at the deadline. Like, I would be more worked up over this if the Yankees were entering the season with a less than lineup. Now, I got it. You know, Goldschmidt's not 25. It's not like they just bring in Mark Teixeira. Got it. You know, but I do think that there's enough there. Plus, the staff from top to bottom should be absolutely lights out. Where the Yankees going to win a lot of games, and they have the built-in cushion, I think, and most do, to reassess who they are and where they are before the deadline, probably focusing on third base.
Yeah, here's the issue, though. The Yankees, and I know you didn't love Bregman, but think about how the different pieces fall. If the Yankees were able to go out there and spend on Bregman, put him in a third. Now, to me, I said it before he signed anywhere, this months ago, that would have been the perfect offseason, especially after considering losing Juan Soto, A++, all the moves the Yankees made, plus capping it off with Bregman at third. fills a void. He's an excellent third baseman defensively, specifically professional bat. It would have been the perfect piece to finish off this otherwise terrific offseason. Instead, they don't, for probably multiple reasons. Maybe they didn't love the player. They certainly didn't love the price or even have the wiggle room to make his price fit. And now, in turn, he goes to Boston and makes them better in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a trickle-down effect there, too. Now, does it mean that the Red Sox are going to win the AL East or be better than the Yankees? No, but they are better, and the Yankees still have a hole at third base, and I think it's large in part because they're paying, for example, Marcus Stroman $18 million for nothing.
I mean, listen, the finances got out of whack a long time ago. They really did. I mean, if you start to just look around the field right now, all right, Goldschmidt's cheap, Jazz Chisholm at second cheap, Volpe at short cheap, Wells beyond the plate cheap. And even though, you know, DJ is just on his last leg here, still third base combined with other players, Barraza, Cabrera cheap. Bellinger, you know, for what he should do and what he's done some seasons, cheap or at least fair. Left field, Dominguez, cheap. Judge, incredibly compensated and certainly well-justified. Back of the bullpen with Devin Williams, I think it's a good rate. Luke Weaver, setup man, very cheap. All right, Gerrit Cole's making a lot. It's just a couple of spots. Now, you want to tell me, all right, if Rodon was 15, 18% better, then that contract looks a lot better. I'll give you that, even though I like Rodon more than you, but I'm not saying he's been perfect. It's really the lingering stuff from the Stanton deal, from the LeMahieu deal, and a little bit of Stroman. But it's not like they've made a lot of mistakes.
Right.
But the mistakes that they've made, they've kind of lingered. I can't dispute that.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Marcus Stroman is the topic. Vincent is in Wantagh. What's up, Vincent?
Hey, what's going on? I was just hoping to speak to BT about supporting Marcus Stroman instead of trading him away.
Okay.
Specifically because Gleyber Torres is gone. And so defense is going to be a lot better with Jazz Chisholm up the middle. And also you had Anthony Rizzo booting balls at first base as well. So I think between Goldschmidt and Jazz Chisholm up the middle, you'll see that ERA jump down to that 3.95 from a year before.
Well, I mean, that's why before the comments today, I hadn't had the position, wasn't taking the position, got to trade Marcus Stroman. I didn't think he was valueless. What I think now, though, is that his position and combined with where he is as a pitcher, makes it untenable for me. Do I think it'd be better with a better infield? Of course, because he's got one of the highest ground ball rates in baseball. I get that.
You got anything to volley there, Vincent?
Yeah, and the previous caller as well said he had give up a bunch of web league and home runs. I just think that was factually incorrect.
Now Vincent,
as well,
I'm just curious why you could make that point to both of us and you wanted it specific to BT.
I felt like he was really pushing it just because of his comments today.
With what?
Not comments today.
Yeah, but I think it's. I think you bring up a great point, and I think we. And thank you for the call, Vincent. I think it's an excellent point, BT, that Stroman is a contact pitcher that was playing with a bad defense behind him, and the reason why. And I think Vincent was smart to bring that up. The reason why I really think it's a great point is because Clay Holmes, when Joe B and I did the Amazing Day,
yeah,
we had Clay Holmes on. Now he didn't flat out say it, but he alluded to
as
saying,
a sinker pitcher.
Yeah, that a lot of the flack he caught last year, I'm paraphrasing because he didn't say it. I even said it to him. I go, Clay, I know you're not going to say it, but I'll say it. The defense stunk behind you.
Yeah.
But he alluded to that where he thinks a lot of his quote-unquote problems last year were due to the fact that there was a bad defense playing behind him.
I think that there's something to that.
Maybe Stroman's better this year. He's not a strikeout pitcher, to your point.
No, seven percentile
right
in baseball.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying.
Don't strike anybody out.
Right. So then
so you got to put the ball in play and you guys to catch it.
So
yeah, he'd be better for sure with Jazz at now. Who's playing third? I mean, we'll find out. But no, Jazz and Goldschmidt is much better than what the Yankees trotted out there defensively last year. I get these are. Like that, like to me, that's a basic point. I already knew that. Like I know who Stroman is, and I know how bad the Yankees defense was on the right side a year ago. So I think that there would be an uptick in performance by Stroman, but I don't think it would be appreciable enough to justify him now saying whatever he wants and keeping him.
Right, but maybe he's going to turn out to be better than the other guys. Like, the way we project things going into a season doesn't always work out in season. So right now it's like, oh, well, Rodon's going to be better. I would bet anything Rodon is way worse than he was
a year ago, which I don't even think he was good a year ago, whether it's injury, whether it's performance. Now, again, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just me personally, I would not count on Carlos Rodon to do what he did last year, and I don't even think he was really good last year. He was just better than the awfulness before. Who knows with Gerrit Cole, again, as far as staying healthy, you hope and you expect it, but he is getting older, and he did have an issue last year. And then again, with Luis Hill and Clark Schmidt, there's no guarantees. Hill was great a year ago. Clark Schmidt showed some promise. Those guys could be good, but maybe they're not. We don't know yet definitively what they are. And Marcus Stroman is a proven vet. I just think it's smarter to have depth. You're paying him anyway. Now, the problem is that he's going to be a starter. So can you move Clark Schmidt or Luis
Hill? Get the hell out. I'm going to start trading people to keep
this guy around? No, move them to the pen.
No way. Listen, there's two things at play here. And I agree partly. I agree with some of the things you've said today. You know, I don't think it's complete polar opposites. I think where I splinter off is that by every objective measurement, the five guys lined up to start right now for the Yankees are a lot better than Stroman. Like, if it was close, right, it still wouldn't change my opinion on what he said. That would still bother me, but it's not even close.
Carmine is in West Babylon. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, guys. Happy Valentine's Day.
So,
you know, there's a saying, you never have too much starting pitching. But with that said, has Stroman not learned anything in his career? This guy's a veteran. He talks to the media like he's a rookie. Why even say that? I know you don't have a problem with it, but there's a gajillion other ways he could have went about this and not make it a story, make it about him. And he just continues to go down the path of BT. Like you said, he's an ego guy. But why even go that route? I just don't understand what this guy thinks when he talks to the media, especially in New York. They're going to eat this stuff up like soup.
Well, would you rather him lie, though? Because I watched the whole thing, right? And I'm watching it from a prism of saying, God, Stroman, he drives me nuts. I didn't want him here last year. I know all that Marcus Stroman has to offer. So I know what he is. And I'm watching that, waiting for him to bother me and be like, this guy's a problem. And I didn't get that feel. As a matter of fact, the reporter...
Yeah, no, but...
You go ahead.
Right. But Sal, but he can say, listen, I'm going to work my butt off to do what I got to do to help this team. I'm hoping he's a starting pitcher. Just leave it at that. Let the play, let him do what he needs to do, and then let the Yankees figure it out.
But Carmine, that's not him, and thank you for the call. Here's what I got from that, BT. I don't think Stroman was trying to be a problem. I felt like the reporter purposely asked that question, and you want to say that Stroman got a little defensive? Sure, I think that maybe he did get a little defensive and then became defiant, which made it worse. Because if he just said, I'm a starter, and then somebody asked about the bullpen, now maybe the way is to say, hey, look, I got to have this conversation with Cash and Booney, and we'll see how things play out, but I'm a starter. I don't want to be in the bullpen. But the way that Stroman goes into meeting with the media, he's already, like, he doesn't trust the media, doesn't like the media, he's sensitive to it. And the way the reporter was asking the question, I don't think it was bad. As a matter of fact, it might have been Mark Feinstein. It sounded like him. I didn't see who it was.
Yeah, I couldn't tell either.
A reputable reporter, obviously, in Feinstein. But I don't think he was trying to get something out of Stroman. He was just simply saying, like, the math is you might have to go to the bullpen. And Stroman didn't like that. But I still think he just said it because he believes in himself and he believes what's best for him and the team is for him to be a starter. And he's going to work at that to do everything he can in his power to be the best starter that he can be.
Well, let's face it. You know, whether it's a leading question, whether it's a question with an angle, which, by the way, I think it is. But that's not to disparage whomever asked the question. Like, there's nothing more pertinent in the world of, you know, from our perspective, there's nothing else that Marcus Stroman can really say that is going to, you know, trump what he actually talked about yesterday. Like, he didn't pitch in October, so, you know, it's not like, hey, you know, how'd you recover from, you know, that Game 5 shellacking where, you know, you cost your team a World Series? Didn't pitch, so you can't talk about that. I guess you could have started with, you know, how do you rectify the second half woes that plagued you a year ago? Sure, but there's nothing positive. And, you know, I don't want to say that he was late because, as I said, it was his prerogative. I have an issue with it. I did not because it was collectively bargained. Maybe you want to start with that. Okay, fine. But the only question is, hey, you are a starter. Your history says you're a starter. There's five guys that we all know. There's 20, 30, 40 people in the scrum, whomever, however many it was. Everybody there knows you're the number six out of six at this point. So the only thing that matters is what's your opinion on maybe going to the bullpen. You had to ask the question.
Right.
I didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it was a bad question.
It was a necessary question.
It's just that he was a little defensive to it, but I don't think it was this screw the Yankees, this and that, like trying to be selfish and be a problem. It's sometimes the way that Stroman handles himself with the media, and he can take certain things. Hey, look, I mean, it happens to us sometimes. I know I do it, certainly, whether a caller says something else, or sometimes you could be defensive a
100%.
Little bit and react that way.
No doubt.
You don't mean any harm by it, but I don't think Stroman meant harm by it. Now, is he being a team guy when he says that to finally? No, but he truly believes in himself. It would be like asking whatever. Well, Gleyber Torres is not necessarily the best example, but whoever, to change the position. If Mark Vientos said, and Mark Vientos doesn't have the equity that Marcus Stroman has in the big leagues. He wasn't an all-star the way Stroman has been in his career with a veteran. But if Mark Vientos was asked, hey, you want to play first base? Are you okay with that? And he'd be like, you know what? I'm a third baseman. I want to play third base. I would respect that in certain ways. Another part of me would say, well, you got to do what the team asked you.
100%.
Especially for a younger guy. But also I respect saying, you know what? He's a third baseman. I know he's best at third base because I know Stroman is best at being a starter. Certain guys can get messed up with their routine or whatever. He's not one of them, BT. He's got his exact routine for them.
He is.
Creature of habit.
He is.
It's a strength of his personally to keep himself healthy and go out there and make 25 to 30 starts a year.
Yeah, and I also don't want Marcus Stroman coming out of the bullpen because with a 7 percentile strikeout rate, which is about as low as it could get, you want him coming in with guys on?
No,
of course not because he's pitching to contact. Now, to your point, the Yankees defense will be better. Now, I'm also aware that he doesn't have to come in with, you know, first and second, one out in the sixth inning. Or you could, you know, Yankees up 7-3, Yankees down 7-4, middle frames. All right, nobody on, nobody out. You could start an inning, sure. There's many ways to use him and manipulate him. I prefer let your agent behind the scenes communicate to the Yankees, my client's not doing this. No matter what you think that he's going to do, he's not doing it.
And it doesn't have to be hostile.
No, it doesn't. It's business.
Yeah, I don't think that it is. It's just like, hey, he doesn't feel comfortable being a bullpen guy.
Let your agent do that. That's why we have agents. Let the agent be the bad guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I still tell my agent, hey. Make sure you don't screw anything up.
You got it. And you also tell the agent when to lay out. Like, you know, we control the agent. The agent works for us.
Right. Make sure you know how much I love everybody want to be here.
Yep.
And then go squeeze them. Pete is in Farmingdale. Pete's in Farmingdale.
Squeeze
him
like
Pete?
A walnut on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Hello.
Hey,
good Friday to you guys.
Hey, Drew.
hey, Sal.
What's up, Peter?
BT.
Yeah.
I think that you see if this is fair. I mean, Stroman has been, you know, kind of rubbing people the wrong way, said things provocative. So I think in the light of knowing that, even if it's in the back of your mind, you take his comments as being provocative. But if you look at it from his standpoint, general managers and players both use the media to get a point across. And I think Stroman's point is, listen, I know I'm going to be traded, but I got to show other teams that I still got a chip on my shoulder, that I know I have something to prove, and they're going to get the best out of me. Even if he goes to a bottom feeding team, he's going to pitch his hiney off, and then he's going to look to get traded to a contender. That's the best case scenario. But if he says, yeah, I guess I'm a bullpen piece now and takes it, nobody's going to really want that guy. What do you think?
First of all, I don't think what he says, it's an interesting thought. I appreciate the call. We appreciate the call. The detailed analytics that baseball...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Teams have access to. I really don't think they're going to make a decision based on how he answers a question. Like, so I just think that that's, I don't think that that applies at all. And by the way, I think that the answer could have been somewhere in between. I'm not saying he's got to, you know, grovel and be, oh, I'm happy to hear, just like nuclear loose when Kevin Costner's trying to help him on the bus. I'm just here to help the team, try to fit in. No, you know, you've been an all-star. You've done some really good things in this league. You made a lot of money. You got some juice. You got some equity, but you could have straddled the line more professionally. Hey, I'm a starter. Every fiber in my being, I'm a starter. That's what I am. But, you know, we got to resolve this. I'm not here to start. Well, just not what he said.
Yeah, I respect the honesty, but clearly, and this is not a knock, it's just the facts. Clearly, Marcus Stroman is putting himself before the team. Because if he were saying, hey, you know what, I want to be a Yankee and I love being here, I'll do whatever they ask. And there are some people who truly feel like that in certain spots. I'll do whatever they want. I want to be a Yankee. If they want to pitch at the bullpen at this point in my career, I'll figure out a way to do it, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Stroman is saying, I'm best as a starter. I am a starter. I'm not pitching out of the bullpen. So what's that telling you? I respect the honesty, but it's telling you that, hey, if the Yankees are going to want me, it's going to be as a starter. Otherwise, they better figure out where they're going to move me because I'm not going to the bullpen.
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, I think this is going to resolve itself favorably. I think he's going to be somewhere else. I hope he pitches well. I like Stroman. I love his energy. I do. And the irony here is that, you know, you were on him from some of the tweets, and I'm like, yeah, I think he's going to be okay as a Yankee in terms of fitting in. And now I don't want to say you're defending him and I'm destroying him, but it's kind of like role reversal in a weird way. You know, sometimes you get put in a place where you fundamentally disagree with what's being asked of you. You think Jose Reyes wanted to move to second base for Kaz Matsui? You don't think he looked over there every day and was like, this guy can't shine my shoes. This guy stinks. And he did. But he did it, you know, for the betterment of the team before they eventually moved him back. So even though they're pros and even though they make a lot of money, there's still a pecking order of power, and it's just my opinion that I think Stroman crossed the line a little bit without going nuts. And I even said, if you miss this, if he comes back tomorrow and he kind of circles back and not apologize, no need to apologize, but maybe adds a little depth or clarity to what he meant, that, by God's sake, I'm fine. I'm not looking to bury the guy.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Sal back on the Fan. 808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get into the Giants ownership thing. Is it putting up some of the stake, 10% of the team for sale? We'll get into that coming up a little bit. Well, let's keep it going with the baseball conversation here. Marcus Stroman arrived today, met the media, said he's not going to pitch out of the bullpen. He's going to be a starter. And then we await BT, and I think Cashman's scheduled to speak today at 1, if I'm not mistaken, which will be fun for us because we'll get a chance to react to it and kind of bring this show and a story that story to an end here, and the week really to an end after Cashman speaks today. Now, who knows how long he's going to be speaking for, but I'm sure that'll be the first thing that he's asked about is Marcus Stroman, and then we could react to Brian Cashman.
What gets you more excited, the start of NFL training camp or the start of spring training?
Oh, it's not even close.
It's baseball, for
yeah,
sure,
100%.
Right?
The start of NFL, like, I'm more, the football season, once it gets going, that first, you know, first September, the week one, mm-hmm. yeah. But spring training, I mean, I'm excited about it. I just love everything about it. I haven't been down there a bunch, only a couple times in my life. Love to go more, obviously. But I think it's just the start of a long relationship between you and your team.
Yeah.
You know, it's 162 games over the course of the spring and then the summer and then on into the fall. It's, to me, the most beautiful sport that there is in that way. The relationship that you have with your team, the bond that you create for that amount of time throughout the course of, you know, those 6-7 months.
It's a lifelong companion, you know.
Yeah.
Think about the first thing you truly fell in love with. Like, when you really knew what love was, I mean, of course, unconditional love of your parents. But then, like, the first thing you really fell in love with, for me, it was baseball.
Yeah.
It's no question.
Yeah, my first love. You're right, on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to spring training and baseball.
I should tell
Can
you
I get a card for them?
I should
Forget
tell
my wife and kid. I love baseball.
I should tell you what Hop just said in my ear.
What?
I'll tell you during the break.
Oh, you can't his say it on the air?
His wife will clip him if
How
she
How did
hears
it go
it.
Yesterday, Hoff? It wasn't just Valentine's Day today, but your wife's birthday. You had the 2-4.
Yeah, as I said, when I went to the florist, I was like, I got the double banger. So.
Oh, you should be so lucky.
Did you now? Did you get Valentine's Day prices? Even though it was like the day before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a crap show. Let's put it that way.
So BT and I get hit that way. Both of our wives' birthday is in December.
Oh, and then Christmas hits.
So
you.
We get hit. Is it the same day in December?
December 18th is a day off too. Yeah. A day off. Yeah.
So my wife
right.
the next day, but yeah, it's the same time. Like you got the birthday and then Christmas.
Yeah. I've got the anniversary in October too. So it's like, it just doesn't stop.
When is my anniversary again? Oh, yeah, it's May. So, Hoff, then you have the birthday and then Valentine's Day.
Right, and then I forgot it's the weekend, too, so it's the birthday weekend. So I was just told, so what are we doing for the weekend?
Oh, God.
I was like, well, I don't know, getting home at 5 in the morning.
What's
tomorrow.
That pizza place that hooks you up? You could go there again.
The one in Connecticut?
Yeah, Sally's. We'll go to Sally's.
Take it to Sally's. I mean, that's going to need help. I mean, God, you got to go up there. So did you get two separate gifts, or did you just do the one thing?
Yeah, there's some gifts coming today for her for Valentine's Day.
Okay, and
it's
got
to be separate.
What about the
same.
Birthday? That's what I'm saying.
No, I think she's very much into tea these days, so I souped it up and I made
into
her
into what?
Tea.
Tea.
She loves tea.
Hey, talk about a cheap gift.
That's
tea.
A nice one, yeah. I mean,
here's 9 bags of tea.
No, this is expensive tea. This
well,
is
from the Orient? Where are you getting this tea from?
I don't know. From freaking heaven. I don't know. It's amazing. She's obsessed with it, though.
Big really? Little tea, of
yes.
course.
Yeah. Right from Joe Torre's old white styrofoam cup.
Howie Rose.
Michael K's got a few leftovers for you, too. He endorses it. Howie Rose as well.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Ed is in Roselle
Complete
Park.
Complete with their DNA. Here you go, honey. Happy birthday.
Roselle Park, New Jersey, calling about Marcus Stroman. What's up, Ed?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Hey.
I might be on an island with this, but I'm kind of tired of all this selfish stuff with professional athletes today. My man's making 18 cash. And they want him to pitch out of the, be a starter, and he refuses to be a bullpen guy. What happened to the days when the guys did with what they were supposed to? Like you guys said before, it might have cost them Bregman, maybe Arenado, because you're trying to build a team, and you're not taking a team concept. So what do you, there's a lot of young guys on the Yankees, as we all know. And you're not showing these guys the right way. I was never a big Stroman fan. I never really liked his act. But you know what? If they trade him, I'll drive him to the airport.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. I mean, I think at this point, the obvious conclusion would be for Stroman to be pitching somewhere else at some point, just a matter of when.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that Stroman is going to be professional enough to keep it under the, you know, to keep it under wraps. I don't think he's going to be popping off every day. I don't think he's going to be that disruptive force, but I just don't really see a lot of value for him at this point. That's the problem. Like, if he was better, you suck it up for a little bit. You deal with it.
Which is why I said they made a mistake. It's a bad signing. So even it wasn't worth the first half of last year because they could have overcome Gerrit Cole in other ways anyway. They didn't need Stroman. He was good and an important piece early on, but I don't think it had an impact whether they went to the World Series or not. So it was a bad contract. Now, how are the Yankees going to get out from under that bad contract? Clearly, they tried to trade him this offseason. We all know that. Those are the reports. They couldn't. They couldn't find a taker, or at least a taker at their asking price. So either they've got to lower their ask, meaning just kind of get rid of him and limit the money coming back, if at all, or pay more money to have him go away and maybe get a prospect. Like, I don't know what the parameters of their ask was, but they either couldn't get something in return and get rid of Stroman, or couldn't get somebody to take on the money of Marcus Stroman. So that's something that's going to have to change because he's still here and he doesn't want to pitch out of the bullpen. Or he's got to start for him. Cashman's got the choice, or he could start.
Yeah, he's not starting. That's not even on the table as an option. I mean, by the way.
Yet, but what happens if one of these guys gets hurt early in camp?
Well, then that's different. That's different. I mean, I'd still rather, you know, maybe pull an arm for the minors if he's going to be an issue, which.
Yeah, Carlos Carrasco, you want him making some starts?
No.
Okay, but he's there. He's a depth piece. I mean, so if you move on from Stroman and one of these guys inevitably gets hurt, I mean, maybe you're looking at Carlos Carrasco. I mean, I don't know who the other.
I don't know who's in the minors.
He's just one of them who I know is going to.
I mean, listen, if you think about the order of issues for the Yankees right now, what's their biggest issue? Is it third base? Is that the biggest problem right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that they're pretty whole overall. Their biggest problem to me, I wouldn't even say problem. I would say their biggest question mark is going to be that lineup. Where I think you look at the lineup on paper and here's what their biggest issue is: lack of depth, number one, and it leads me to the lineup. Like, if something happens to Judge now, they're absolutely screwed. If Bellinger doesn't have the home runs season that we think he's going to have, I know we're both high on Bellinger. I think he's going to hit 30-plus home runs in Yankee Stadium in a lineup potentially in front of Judge or behind Judge. Then they have a problem. If Dominguez doesn't turn into the offensive player that we thought he could be, like, those are all, they have a lot of question marks.
Mm-hmm.
They should be good, but they have a lot of question marks, and if they all aren't answered, then they do have a problem.
Well, I mean, the one area they have no question marks in right, again, there's varying degrees of confidence. I'll certainly give you that, but the rotation is just on lock. Like, their pitching is so good right now. So I don't look at third base while I don't like it. I don't look at it as a pressing concern today. It might become that for sure. And what it does, you got to deal with it. I don't know where these guys are going to hit. I don't love the fact that there's not a conventional leadoff hitter. And I know that there are some questions there. Like, if Dominguez ascends to that spot, that answers one question. If Volpe becomes the real deal, that, you know, we all know the questions because we've hit this a million times. Right. I guess what I'm saying is I don't see a massive pressing concern right now. So what I'm trying to do is limit other things that could cut into the success. And somebody who's not happy and not saying the right thing and has a history of being a little bit against the grain, I'm not looking to keep that guy around too much. And that guy is Stroman.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. Work the Giants into the conversation, BT, as they put up 10% of their team for sale. What does that mean?
10%? Can we buy that?
Good luck.
10%?
I think even the 10% was a pretty hefty cost. We'll get to that when we come back and continue with your calls on Marcus Stroman as well. Back on the Fan. So the Giants, BT, are putting up a portion of their team for sale. What'd you think when you first heard this news yesterday? Because I'll give you my thoughts in a second, but you see the news and it's like, oh, okay, Giants putting 10% of their team up for sale.
I don't think it's huge news. I really don't. My first instinct was, all right, they're trying to cash in on the growing position that they own. And as the NFL continues to become more global, you know, European expansion, not necessarily things that I love for the American consumer, but whatever, they're going to do them anyway. They don't care about us. I think they're just being opportunistic and being open to putting a ton of money in their bank accounts.
Yeah, I think it's like, what, $7 billion or something like that? Boomer and Gio were talking about. Hop, do you have the exact cost of what it would be, 10%? I'm pretty sure I heard Boomer and Gio saying something around $7
billion. Oh, my God.
Which I couldn't, for 10%? Billion. Oh, my God. Take it all, please.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine having like a fraction of that much money, what you would do.
What would you do?
Nobody.
What would you do?
Nobody including some family members, would ever hear or see from me again. I would be gone. Friends, family, see ya.
Where would you go? Obviously nowhere
probably,
cold. You go tropical?
Hawaii. I'd probably
go
Hawaii.
You move to Hawaii?
Yeah, I'd have like three houses. Now remember, we're talking about like billions?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, billions. Yes, billions.
I mean, then you could do whatever you want. Would you ever set foot in the city again? New York City?
I highly doubt it, man. To go to the Garden. See, I would still do the St. John's games. I would still do this show, but I would not do it here. Like, I would build the studio for you and I.
Right. Well, I was going to say you would not be doing it with me, as I was. I do love what we do, but
I hear you. I'd probably just do a podcast at that point. Like, maybe once a week, just to kind of let it rip still.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's something in there that you still want to get out, but
I couldn't tap out. No, I would still have to communicate my thoughts. Like, that's just innately in me. Now, the grind of driving from Jersey to Manhattan every day, the Holland Tunnel, could screw you. I mean, I'm not doing that. There's no way.
I know, but even, like, would you, like, there? You could go do whatever you want.
But my mind's got to be active. I can't just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, I'll be active, like, traveling in Hawaii. What was it?
Gets old after a while, traveling.
10% is about $750 million.
Jesus.
Well, I thought I heard $7
billion. $750
million. No, they're worth $7
billion. Maybe I got the wires crossed against
them. Still.
So the Giants are worth around roughly between $7.3 and $7.85 billion.
I got you. Okay, so I heard that wrong. That makes a little more sense now.
Yeah, okay, but we can still have fun here with $750 million.
So the Giants are worth $7
billion. Don't let it ruin the dream here.
And they're selling 10% of it for roughly $750 million.
Okay, so
I still want the billions though in our fantasy world here.
Okay, so we can stick. Yeah. So let's round up 750. Yeah, let's go with a billion. So I could not do anything. I'll tell you, I would coach. There's no way I wouldn't coach. I would build a dome for my. You saw the field.
Yeah. What do you think that costs?
It doesn't matter. I can afford it.
I'm just saying, like, roughly, what do you need for $100,000?
I'd upgrade a home, but I'd get, I'd throw a couple of million into, more upgrade there.
I think you're being very practical and logical, and maybe that would be the way ultimately that I would want to go, but I want to get away from everything. I just want to go enjoy life.
Get away from, see, I don't want to get away from everything.
I want out. I don't want to be seen on social media. I don't want to be in that world in the public eye whatsoever. I want out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all these years, I wanted in. And now I'm in it.
But what would you do every day? And don't say travel. Dude, you've traveled, as have I. You know how boring it would get traveling after a while?
Sitting on
you
the
go
beach
look at volcanoes and go play with, kangaroos in Australia. What do you do? I mean, you go fishing? What, some other expedition? Great. All right, after a year, you've touched every crevice of the world. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's next?
Maybe play some video games.
Dude, what? Are you going to stay married?
Yeah. Of course, with a billion. No more issues. No more issues. You do what you want. You want a happy wife.
Course. Yeah, no, I think you'd say yeah. Just double checking. Just double checking.
What are my other options?
Yeah. Don't worry. Sal's wife isn't listening.
Yeah. Here's the other option.
She might be. I don't know.
Here's the other. We're talking about a billion. The other option is here's $500 million. Get lost. And
No, I would want my wife because I don't want anybody else coming at me with that type of money.
You get a prenup. Hey, you want to dance with the king? You got to start a prenup, honey.
No. See, I would never, ever get married again. I chose my wife for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get married again either. I totally agree with that.
Especially in that scenario. No, like, if we had a billion dollars, we could do whatever we want. Like, all the problems, like, somebody to clean the house.
Well, we do that. You have a cleaner car.
Enough.
He doesn't have somebody clean the house. You have that now?
Not enough. I mean, we probably should do it a little more often.
Okay, I got you.
I'm like, what'd you think I get married for? My mom used to clean the house.
So did mine.
Cook, clean. Yeah. Wasn't that part of the deal?
Especially back then, they did everything.
Happy Valentine's Day. No, but if I had that, dude, I just would want... And maybe I'm overstating this because sometimes the negativity and toxicity of it, like, I hate that we have to rely on social media so much.
Okay.
And we're in it. So that would be like my number one thing. Whereas if I didn't have to do it for work, I would be out.
So would I.
I don't care what, like, nobody said anything. It doesn't matter.
But you still want to do a show, right?
I could watch sports and enjoy it.
You wouldn't want to do a show by yourself once a week, just let it rip?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, that surprises me. The way you love the business.
I don't know if I had a billion dollars.
And the way you
fought
and scrapped. But it's not about money. It's about fulfillment.
Yeah, well, I'm fulfilled.
Yeah, for a year you would be. Maybe you would be. I don't know.
Bigger and better. Sometimes you can move on.
I would still have to coach. I would still have to talk. I would write a book, you know, and I really, you know, I've got a bunch of chapters written already, but I would finish the book.
You could do the way to do that is just start your own podcast. Like you said, build a
studio.
That's
what I'm saying. Build a sick studio.
You go
studio.
On YouTube, you do your own podcast.
Yeah.
So if you needed to scratch that itch, you go do it.
Yep.
But I don't think I want, like, I have that now. If I have $1 billion, like, I want to do something else.
But you,
like,
understood.
Can't do otherwise.
But you don't. You said you had that, but you don't, because you don't have the freedom. We still have to come into the city. Now,
right.
Luckily, we have great bosses, but we're still on at a certain time.
Yeah.
You can do the show whenever you want. We can now. We got to be on the air at 10.
That's like Mike. You're talking about Mike.
Mike taking a break from the rigors of a weekly pod. I saw that.
Hey, whenever he wants to do his pod.
Yeah,
is he taking a break? I didn't see that.
I think I saw that, unless it was AI. Who the hell knows?
No, he wrote that down. He's going to take a week off, I think.
Okay,
From the long, vigorous, football season.
Well, he was
rigorous or vigorous?
He was doing a lot of them during the football season, reacting live.
Yeah, I know. He did a good job. He brought the heat. See, I couldn't not do anything. And I'm not saying I couldn't do anything for, not do anything for 2, 3, 4, 5 months. I'm not saying I'll go fishing, I'll go up to Alaska, catch some halibut.
Yeah.
I'll go to the Caribbean like I've been a million times, catch some different exotic fish. Oh, yeah. I'll go see different parts of the world with Jen and the kids. But eventually I got to get back on the baseball field coaching. I got to watch my kids play. I've got to communicate.
Mm.
Now, maybe nobody wants to listen to me, but I'm going to still communicate. I got things to say.
I haven't really thought about it that deeply, but I just know I'd want to escape and go enjoy myself and relax.
Huh? What about you?
I definitely would be like a famous actor, because if I had all that money, I'd definitely get a lot of people to work for me and make my vision perfect and yell and scream. I'd basically be like,
you'd be a tyrant is what you sound like.
No, but I mean, I'd
yell
be
and
like,
scream.
I'd be like Christian Bale. I'd go, I want people to respect me, so I'd make movies that revolve around me, make me the star.
But he screams at everybody for breathing on the set of Batman.
Exactly. Well, but I'm
what a
real,
nice guy.
I'm a real actor, and I have money.
A method
so deal
actor,
with it.
See, in both your scenarios, there is some level of stress that I'm sensing. I don't want stress or anxiety at all anymore in my life.
But where's the stress for me?
Well, I think
coaching? Doing a podcast?
Well, whatever. Yeah,
I do a podcast now. I have not an ounce of stress doing the podcast.
No, it's still like, oh, you got to do
this. I get like $93 a podcast.
Yeah, no,
that's the stress. It's not real money.
I get it. Oh,
that's the stress.
You got to do this. You got to do that.
I don't need the money anymore.
Yeah, just being on the clock 2 a day. You want to talk about the Jets twice a week for the rest of your life, even if you're worth $1 billion?
No, once a week. God. Once a month.
If I had $1 billion, I'd give somebody $100 million just so I don't have to talk about the Jets. Please, whatever you do, give me a Jets-free TV the rest of my life. I don't want to see
Giants
the Jets
too.
Or the Giants.
Yeah.
Give me the only... I
and Daniel Jones, too. So if you're watching the red zone, no Daniel Jones.
Only the good football games. How do you work that out? Give me the remote, just the good football games up.
I see. I don't believe you. I believe most of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But let me just give you, it's just my
thought.
Go to
Disney, make some trips in Disney.
How many times are you going to ride Space Mountain? Which, by the way, your knees are going to be in your throat. Once you go for the first time, or you haven't been there in a while, I'm also taller than you. But Space Mountain, first of all, it's 50 years old. Tomorrowland seems like 1930, or Futureland, whatever the hell they call it. The bar is in my nostrils.
Yeah.
I mean, Space Mountain, Disney.
No, but you said Space Mountain. I'm talking about,
it's the Disney.
But see the princesses and things like that. I'm with my daughter.
Yeah, we did that too. We took my daughter for her fourth birthday. Had the castle. It was amazing.
If you have $1 billion, you could like shut the park down maybe and do it.
Well, that's true too.
You know what I'm saying?
But here's where, again, this is just my theory. Now, of course, you know better than me about you.
Yeah.
But I got to check you on this. Hop, help me out.
I got to
at least call you out and you can refute this, obviously. I don't believe you. I know you want to get rid of some stress. I know you want to. I do believe the social media you would do away with. That I believe. I don't believe how hard you fought to get in this business, how much you scraped to get to a prime spot, how you got fired from this place, how you were behind the scenes with my. I don't believe that, and I don't mean for a month, forever. You could do without a microphone.
Maybe
I don't believe that about you.
Maybe not, but...
I disagree, too, because I know where the mic's going to be. It's not going to be in radio. It's going to be like WWE. You're going to get behind the mic. You're going to get in front of like a camera, and you're going to start to build up like a actual wrestling career character.
Like Logan Paul.
Oh, like all these guys. Pat McAfee.
Logan Paul could fight. He can't.
But he could scream.
Yeah.
He would be a great manager, wouldn't he? You would have been an awesome WWF manager.
But again, you guys are like, yes, I do love that stuff. And you're right. Like, I love this more than anything. At some point, though, I feel like when you're in this grind every day, remember, too, I'm working two jobs a day.
I know you are.
That's a lot. And the weekend is not enough of a recovery. I'm not complaining, but I'm saying, like,
I know.
It's just, and there's pressure involved.
I get it.
That's what I'm looking to escape.
Yeah, and
as
you
much
will.
As I love it.
And you will.
Yeah,
that's why you do a podcast
for a
once
couple
a
months
week.
Or something. Yeah.
Goodbye, SNY. Goodbye, WFAN. Goodbye, America. You can still do the podcast, so you can do it for the rainforest in South America. I still think you need to yell at something. I think you need to communicate about something. You need to let that that fire come out. Dude, we're very alike in that regard.
I know, but it's like at some point you got to let go and enjoy life.
I am. I love life. I love coaching. I love doing the show.
We love doing it, too. You're not doing it for free.
Nope. Almost.
I mean, great point. No, I didn't think you'd work so many jobs.
Jesus.
No, but, I mean, you know. There was a time where I would have done it for free.
Yep. Now, I hear you on that.
Okay. It's 20 years later.
That's right. Do nothing for free now. I agree with that.
So?
You don't have to.
No, I get it.
You pay yourself.
But if you had a billion, you don't have to work anymore.
And by the way, this guy, I got to get back to Hoff for a second.
Yeah. Why?
And there's other things I would do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would donate money to, like, you know,
my
school and foundational things.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that.
Very true.
But you just said you were going to be this famous actor. Now, okay, you might be able with all that money to make yourself an actor. But what makes you think that people would want to watch you to the point where you become famous?
Well, I have the money. That's going to be everywhere.
Hoff TV.
Instead of Vice TV, we got Hoff TV.
You're not going to be able to miss it. You're going to see it everywhere you go. Every billboard, everything in the world. Forget about it. West Side Highway.
So to wrap this up, what do you think this means for the Giants?
I don't think it means a ton. I think the Giants will still stink next year. That's what it means.
Mara's not going anywhere. A part of me did think a little bit, this is how Steve Cohen started.
Oh,
but I don't think it's going to happen with the Giants. All right, there you have it. BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, reset, get down with the King topic of the day, Marcus Stroman, and we'll wait about an hour from now. We'll hear from Brian Cashman down in Tampa addressing the media, which I'm sure will have a response to Marcus Stroman's comments. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.